This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre, Tuesday, July 13th, off a scintillating, can I use that word correctly, home run contest. Listen, I thought I had this awesome thing planned out to open with a little MLB. We haven't done that forever on this podcast. And then Team USA had to go out and shit the bed against Australia and lose again in an exhibition and kind of blew up everything. But we like to pivot quickly on this podcast. So as I've told you guys and talked about at length, my kids are both in summer league basketball. So I have them out there after it cools down in LA at night, out shooting hoops, you know, like 7 o'clock before the shower and bed routine. Just get up some dribbling, some shots up, you know, fun stuff. So my neighbor's outside. All right. And he's a big sports guy. He's a Philly fan. We play pickup basketball. He's a hardcore Eagles fan, Villanova fan as well. And I say to him, hey, how about that home run derby? Pretty exciting. He's like, yeah, who won? I was like, oh, you didn't watch it? He's like, no, I was watching when Ohtani was in it. As soon as Ohtani got knocked out, I turned it off. I was like, oh, interesting. And I think that's kind of the story right now with MLB. And baseball is going to have to do something. Because right now, Ohtani is the show. Shohei Ohtani, get it? Ha, ha, ha. And I got a bunch of Angels fans buddies out here. The type of fans who, when someone says, hey, you got to score on the Dodgers game? The Angels fan goes, who are they? You know, very anti-Dodgers. A couple of Angels fans. A lot of Dodgers fans, obviously. But, you know, you look at the standings and the Angels are not close to the playoffs. They got to pass many teams to get in the wild card mix. And as good as Ohtani is, he is going to pitch in the All-Star game. He's going to bat leadoff. He entered the home run contest. I mean, we might as well put him on the disabled list for the second half, right? Isn't there some kind of jinx where if you participate in the home run derby and I think maybe win, that you have to end up getting hurt in the second half? It's like written in stone, something along those lines. But we'll get back to Ohtani in a little bit, and I think we may have a baseball guest later this week. Not set in stone yet. But I think I have to start the show with USA basketball. Now, I need to preface this by saying I am not an Olympic guy. I'm patriotic. I'm super proud that my parents came to America. I was the firstborn in my family. Like, awesome. I love America. Big fan, obviously. I just can't get into the Olympics for whatever reason. And like, the lead up, I don't really care. Okay? The opening ceremonies, miss me with that. Closing ceremonies, hard pass. I'm not into all that stuff. Now, when if games start and it's like, oh, Michael Phelps is swimming in the final, in the most important race for the gold medal. Yeah, I'll take the 3 minutes and watch that. Sure. Just let me know when it is. Now, the Olympics love to go around the globe and give everybody a taste of what the Olympics is like. So they're always on tape delay here in America. That's a killer. I'm not doing tape delay. I know the results. Sorry, not watching it. The highlights are on the internet. That's just how it is. That being said, if NBA games are on at 5 a.m., I'm waking up to watch them. If Olympic NBA players are playing at midnight, yeah, I'll stay up and watch them. This team right now has me worried. And how can it not, guys? They lose to Nigeria on Sunday. Nigeria. First time in U.S. basketball history. Let me get this right. They are the first nation from Africa to beat the U.S. in an international competition. Now, it's only an exhibition game. I know nobody cares. And it's funny because it happened Sunday when everybody was talking about Italy, England, soccer, obviously. Everybody was still buzzing off of game three of the finals. And of course, Argentina, Brazil, and Conor McGregor. There was like so much sports over the weekend that we kind of missed. I don't think I even mentioned it on the pod yesterday that the USA lost to Nigeria in an Olympic tune-up. This is a colossal embarrassment, no matter which way Greg Popovich wants to spin it, and we'll get to that in a moment. Popovich getting combative with the media because he lost to Australia.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
But I want to back up to this Nigeria game. Yes, Nigeria is coached by Mike Brown. He knows a little about basketball. He's coached in the league. But again, we're talking about role players on the Nigerian national team. Gabe Vincent of the Heat. When everybody's healthy, he's like your 12th guy. Josh Okogie. I would say he's from parts unknown, but last I saw he was on the Timberwolves. Rob G can check me on that, and maybe we can get an answer. But, like, you can't lose to Nigeria and give up 23-pointers. Bradley Beal and KD shot a combined 5 for 20. They don't do that in the NBA. Why are they doing it against Nigeria? Well, this obviously comes down to, you know, motivation versus, as we saw with Conor McGregor in 3 of his last 4 fights, he's a multi-millionaire. What is he? Conor McGregor is showing up at these fights and getting his butt kicked. USA basketball players are pretty much rolling out the basketball and saying, hey, we got the best players on the planet. Let's just play. And then Nigeria splashes 23-pointers and the USA loses. I will note, my main man, Zach LaVine. Huge Zach LaVine fan. I am champion of the Zach LaVine fan club. It's been that way for a few years. Check the tweets. Check the record. Love Zach LaVine as my son looks at me and gives the thumbs down because he's not a Zach LaVine guy. At any rate, they were up by 10 against Nigeria with Zach LaVine. He gets hurt, blah, blah, blah. Nigeria storms back. Let's move on to Australia Monday night. Okay, now the Australia team has some guys. Okay, Matt Dellavedova, Patty Mills. Listen, when it comes to international basketball, Patty Mills might as well be Oscar Schmidt. Shout out to the former Brazilian national team legend. Surely somebody listening knows Oscar Schmidt. Rob G certainly knows Oscar Schmidt. Patty Mills, 10 of 22 in the fourth. Australia beats USA Monday. Folks, this ain't a good week. The NBA Finals, not very good. USA basketball loses to Nigeria and Australia in back-to-back games. U.S. led at halftime against Australia and then just choked. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. And Rob, I don't know. I don't think we can pull the audio unless you're telling me we can pull the audio.
No, we cannot pull the audio.
Greg Popovich got into it with Joe Vardon of, I think he still works for a Cleveland paper, maybe The Athletic. Basically, Joe Vardon's like, you know, is this embarrassing for USA basketball? You guys usually murder Nigeria and these teams, and Popovich is like, whoa, hold up. Nobody destroys anybody in the Olympics. These are the best players and athletes in the world. And, you know, I couldn't hear that. At that point, Joe Vardon tried to talk back. Pop was like talking over him like he's some amateur. Popovich basically is putting his rings on the table. Yeah, put a cork in it, dude. Let me speak. And it got a little heated, and Popovich was upset. And the sad fact is Popovich is flat out wrong. The Dream Team in 92 eviscerated teams by 50. I think it was called the Redeem Team in 96, Rob G, or were they just Dream Team 2?
Dream Team 2 in 96. Redeem Team was 2008.
2008? Oh, gosh, that's pathetic. At any rate, 96 destroys people. Now, international basketball showed up at the Olympics in 92. Magic, Barkley, can I have your picture? Michael, can I get a photo, like, before the game, after the game? Maybe at halftime. I don't know. They were in awe. That's just not the case anymore. It's simply not how the international athletes are handling this. And the USA guys are basically like, oh, man, I just played a season. Let me show up and jack a bunch of threes. And all of a sudden, whoa, we lost to Australia in an exhibition? I mean, if you look this up, and I do not have the stats, Dame Lillard or Kevin Durant, take their individual salary and total up the salaries on the entire Australian team. It's probably close. Seriously, it might be KD is making more in the NBA than everybody on the Australian team combined. And folks, this is the Australian team that wanted Ben Simmons to play badly. Ben Simmons has a forgettable series against the Hawks. Gags in game 7, my guy Ben. Oh, what a letdown. And says he's not playing for Australia. And Australia was devastated because they really thought they got a chance to medal this year with Ben Simmons. You know, they got Patty Mills, Delly. Who else is on that team, Rob G?
On Australia?
Yeah.
Joe Ingles, Aaron Baines played a few minutes before he got hurt. Dante Exum, Blast from the Past, Matisse Thybulle, yes, sir.
Yeah. Listen, they got some NBA guys. A couple of those guys are first-round picks. And we know Patty Mills can go. This should not happen. There's just no way. They just don't care. Now, I was texting with a former college basketball coach who may come on this podcast this week about how the hell you fix it. And, you know, he has some ideas. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but he has a really, really good idea. And let's just say it does not involve asking, you know, super max players to just decide, oh, let me show up and play in the Olympics. That's how you get embarrassed. That's how you get beat. Now, I don't think this team, whatever we're calling it, I don't think they have a name yet. They probably are going to be unworthy of a name when you lose to Australia and Nigeria in the exhibition tune-ups. Folks, if they don't get gold at the Olympics in Japan, I think the Olympics starts in like 2 weeks. This will be an embarrassment. And I just checked the roster. Australia did not have Andrew Gaze. Shout out to the former Australian sniper, Andrew Gaze. Now, Rob G, I did not personally watch Australia-US. I try to make a point not to watch exhibition basketball games. Do you mind if I tell you what I was doing?
Sure.
So I went and played tennis. You guys know I have a tennis tournament coming up. I played a guy who's way better than me. He's a 4.0. I'm like a 3.5. 3.0, 3.5. I played one of my best matches ever, and he still crushed me. But on the court next to us was Steve Nash. And Steve Nash looks incredible as a tennis player. I mean, he's really good. And, of course, afterward, I'm hanging out with this guy I played against. We're just having a drink. And Steve Nash walks by. And I'm like, oh, Steve, hey, how are you, man? And, you know, obviously Nash and I go way back. I coached basketball against him in kindergarten, back when he was living out here. And you know, we had a brief little chat. I know a couple of his buddies. I've been watching soccer matches with one of them. And let's just say Steve Nash's tennis game is really good. And I hope I'm not, like, speaking out of pocket here. Nash is going to be in the tennis tournament I'm going to be in. He said he's, like, very likely to play in it, but he's going to be doubles. So I'm not going to be facing Nash. That's a good thing because he would smoke me based on what I saw from him yesterday. At any rate, I was playing tennis and, you know, basically hobnobbing with Steve Nash. And I was not watching the USA vomit all over themselves against Patty Mills and Delly. Did Delly just put Dame Lillard in, like, a body bag? Like, what happened there, Rob?
No, it wasn't any one individual player. It was collectively this Team USA roster embodies everything that's wrong with the NBA and American basketball. They have a bunch of guys who only know how to play one style of basketball, do not know for the life of them what it means to move without the ball.
Well, hold on. Time out. It's a tough sell when you get a bunch of guys who are alphas on their team in the NBA and everything rotates around them to now flip it and say, hey,
then they shouldn't be there.
Well, I think that's the point, right? Zach LaVine, Kevin Durant, Dame Lillard, all these guys are alphas on their team. And now you want to be a role player? That's got to be tough.
And you know what's funny is I think Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are the only ones who win at a consistent level.
Oh, come on. Well, define win at a consistent level.
Kevin Durant is consistently going deep into the playoffs.
Damian Lillard's in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, he's in the playoffs and they get smoked every year.
Well, his team's not great.
Well, I like Dame Lillard. I want to be a Laker. You know, I think he's a very good player. However, he is not a point guard. I mean, I put tweeted this last night after the game. Team USA has a three guard lineup, basically. They go with, you know, in their rotation. It's Dame, Bradley Beal, and Zach LaVine. The three of them played 75 minutes combined. 4 assists, 6 turnovers between them. Because none of them knows what it's like to just run a team. They all can get buckets. Unfortunately, in international play especially, team play is so much more important than one-on-one individual style basketball. And it's such an indictment on what we do in the NBA and what we're teaching these kids coming up that all they know how to run these days is high pick and roll. All these guys are great with the ball in their hands, but the minute you ask them to set a back pick, the minute you ask them to come down, come around a screen, not for you to get the shot, but for you to set up somebody else. They can't do it, or more, or even more damning, they just refuse to do it. They have all of these guys that have all this talent and don't know shit about playing basketball. Sorry to cut that out.
I mean, I understand where you're going, but Rob, you still roll a basketball out, and under no circumstances should Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum be losing to Jock Landale, who, by the way, you guys know I own a basketball team in the NBL, right? The New Zealand Breakers. I follow the league closely. Jock Landale, former St. Mary's center in college basketball, is a really good player. He is in the NBL. He's a great player in the NBL. He got 8 points and seven boards last night in 17 minutes. Very instrumental player for them against Team USA. Now, Chris Goulding, I'm not as familiar with his work. Dante Exum can barely sniff a roster in the NBA. Somebody named Duop Reith. Like, Rob, I don't care. I don't care if you're on the high pick and roll 75 times in a row. Under no circumstances should the U.S. be losing to this team. None. Absolutely. This is a disgrace. And I don't know what Keldon Johnson is doing on the team. Like, if you're the fifth best player on the San Antonio Spurs, well, should you be on Team USA?
See, that's how I know you didn't watch the game, because if you watched it, he was doing better things out there than Zach LaVine was. Because he was moving without the ball. He was trying to play defense as best he could. You know, these guys, like, I know that the NBA nowadays is very watered down for the casual fan. It's layups and threes, and that's it. Like, there's no in-between. There's nothing that's really happening. But just watching Team USA play these last two games, it embodies everything that people don't like about NBA basketball.
Okay.
And let me just point it to this, because you mentioned that the talent that they have should overwhelm them. And I would generally agree with that. But what I will point to is the last two teams that we saw win championships. And I'm not saying teams like, you know, the Lakers and whoever's winning this year. I mean teams that functioned like a team, that played five-man basketball. The Golden State Warriors, which in 2015 and 2016, when they won those 73 games, you know, even though they lost in the finals, if you were to just go roster for roster, talent for talent, their roster wasn't that great. Like, if you were to stack up Steph, Draymond, and Klay versus LeBron, Love, and Kyrie, who's picking the Golden State Warriors guys? Nobody. But the thing is, they played like a cohesive unit. They played like one organism. You go back to the Miami Heat and the Heatles against San Antonio. Okay? Those guys played arguably what people say the most beautiful basketball we'd seen like in 20 years up to that point. The moving, the cutting, the passing. And that's why that team, led by a washed up Tim Duncan and an old beaten down Manu and Tony Parker, were able to overwhelm, and not just overwhelm, beat the brakes off of LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh.
They were together for 15 years. These guys have been together for 15 minutes. And your guy, Keldon Johnson, by the way, team high minus 8 in 13 minutes. I know, I'm sure he was cutting and doing things that were good. I don't know where there's a place for a guy like that on the team. Like, if you want that kind of role player, you have him in Jeremy Grant, right? Jeremy Grant was a consummate role player in Denver. He goes and makes all this money in Detroit. He's the good three, right? But, I mean, he clearly could not guard Patty Mills. You know, Dame Lillard and Bradley Beal, they're not locking up anybody. Zach LaVine, passive defense at best. So, you look down the list, what are you going to do? Play John Jenkins and Sadiq Bey? Sadiq Bey was on the all-rookie team. And now, all of a sudden, you're thrusting him into Team USA basketball to play with KD and Draymond. And I just, the construction of this team and the concept of, hey, the season just ended. You guys can have three practices and play against Australia, where these guys have been playing together for, I don't know, probably 8 years, 10 years, on and off, right? Patty Mills has been with this Australia team forever. Aaron Baines, Joe Ingles, these guys have been playing together on and off for 15 years. Delly.
Okay.
Right?
You know, that's fair. Okay, but that's exactly what Popovich and Dame Lillard said after the game. And you know what's funny is Brian Windhorst, who's a friend of the show, we'll probably get him on here hopefully in the next couple of weeks. He even said in his story for ESPN.com, the Australian team has seven new players, and they've changed coaches twice in the past 2 years. Ben Simmons, who they were counting on, did not play. They also are installing new systems. So don't give me this excuse that, oh, well, they've been playing together. They got more chemistry. No.
The core, come on. The core guys.
How to play team basketball. Team USA and Americans in general in the NBA do not know how to play team basketball. It's high pick and roll, shooters in the corners. So the minute they go against a team that does know how to move the ball, who knows how to cut, who knows how to pass, they struggle because they don't see it ever. And they don't bother to learn how to defend or how to operate that kind of way because they're lazy. You brought up Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant, who should be theoretically the kind of guy who would do the dirty work, say, you know what, I don't need to score. I don't need all these stats. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to rebound. I'm going to set screens, whatever. Oh, except the reason why he left Denver in the first place is because he thinks he's better than that. He's not going to humble himself again. And that's the difference between what happened in 2008 with the Redeem Team is at that time, USA had become embarrassed on the international level. And Kobe Bryant decided, who at the time was either the best or what, the second best player in the NBA, said, you know what, Coach K, I'm going to be the first guy on your team. Whoever else you get is cool, but I'm going to be the one who's there first, and I don't care about how much I score. You put me, he calls off the Doberman, you put the Doberman on anybody who is their best initiator on any other team that we play, and I will lock them up.
So fine, put Pat Beverly on the Team USA team. Is he a Doberman? Who's a Doberman in the NBA right now?
What I'm saying is
there
that attitude is what they don't have. They have a bunch of guys who are good at getting buckets but don't know how to do anything else.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, again, it's very difficult when, you know, you go on this global stage and it's less for the guys like Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant about A, winning. We know they're superstars. I mean, they're all NBA guys. They're making millions and millions of dollars. They're there to enhance their brand. This is the one team where you go to Japan and you're mobbed in the streets of Japan. And guess what? Kevin Durant, by being on this team, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, they all enhance their global brand massively. They don't give a rip about Nigeria. They don't care about the high pick and roll. By the way, Durant hit 4 threes. Damian Lillard hit 6. When those guys shoot 10 of 20 on threes, you're going to win more often than not, right? Lillard was not bad. I don't know what the easy solution is. The one thing that was pointed out to me by somebody is that Australia ate inside the same way the Milwaukee Bucks are eating inside in the series against the Suns. Australia scored 44 points in the paint. Team USA, just 24. I know in the NBA, it's a math equation, right? Twos versus threes. You can thank Daryl Morey, Steph Curry, James Harden, all those guys for that. But on the international stage, it almost feels like, hey, if the U.S. needs an easy bucket where they can pound it inside, passing, can they get that? I don't know the answer. Bam Adebayo's postgame is not unbelievable. It's not Patrick Ewing. It's not Shaq. It's not even Alonzo Mourning. Draymond Green has no interior game to speak of. So, you know, I don't have any answers. I think, Rob, you and I largely agree here that there needs to be a fundamental change. I personally still think they'll win the gold. I'm not going to bet against them. But you're right. I do believe that the answer has to be it's time to, like, make this team matter. Get players that want to be on it multiple years, have them work together in the offseason. I know that's a tough sell because who wants to practice with Team USA?
The thing is that they do that. That's part of their thing. That's why they only had a limited, finite number of guys to choose from because they said you have to be in our program. I believe it's for like a 4-year commitment at any window. So if you were already in it before, then you kind of get grandfathered in.
Where's the win, Rob? Playing in exhibitions for Team USA or going on Instagram with a trainer and making videos or playing in a pickup game in Miami or LA and getting it on Instagram and going viral. Like, the priorities are out of whack, right?
That's fine. Then they shouldn't be committing to it. But these guys make it seem like they care about winning gold medals because they think they can just show up and win. That's the problem.
I don't know that they care about the winning gold medals. I really do think this is a brand building exercise for them. Jason Tatum is a huge deal in the Northeast. I am carrying the Jason Tatum flag as a Celtics hater all my life. Nobody knows Jason Tatum overseas. He doesn't have a global brand. He's at Japan to enhance that. Otherwise, like, where's the win in playing in the Olympics, right? You're just coming off a condensed offseason. Damian Lillard is I mean, hell, Monday, forget about Australia and USA. Dame Lillard to the Warriors was like a big brush fire story on the internet. And it was like, maybe the Warriors can get Dame Lillard. And like, what do you, where do you think his priorities are? Running offense for Pop? Playing defense locked down on Patty Mills? Or, how would I fit with Steph and Clay and Draymond? What would that do to my brand? Would that hurt me? Because now I'd be like joining a team. Would that be like the direct? Like, he's got a lot of things on his mind, like selling sneakers. Again, I don't think they're committed. I don't think you can get, you know, these NBA big time money guys to play in the games. I don't think that's going to be ever a win again.
Well, I mean, I would argue that they have enough big time guys where, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is, I think it's Brian Colangelo is the head of Team USA Basketball. I believe it's Brian.
One of those Colangelo, yeah.
And he decided, I mean, now this flies in the face of what we saw in 08 and 2012, that because so many guys were opting out, LeBron, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, you know, some guys with injury, Jaylen Brown, I'm just going to get the most talented guys I can get. Save for Kevin Love. Kevin Love was the only one who was brought in with like an idea in mind where, hey, he's fine not really playing, and when he does play, he can shoot a little bit, which is good for international play.
And he's white.
Shout and out Jalen Rose.
Is that who said that?
Yes, it was tokenism.
I mean, I did not even realize that. I looked up and down the roster, and of all the white guys you're going to get in the NBA, it's Kevin Love. That was a surprise.
There were not many white guys to choose from. I mean,
by the way, Kevin Love, 0 minutes, 0 points, zeros across the board.
Hey, a lot of hand clapping from K-Love, though, man.
Got to do that.
There's got to be someone who's comfortable doing that. But like, the problem is that they didn't choose guys who would have been comfortable, at least in my opinion, of playing defense. Or, you know what, I'm not going to get a lot of shots, but when I do, I'm going to make them count. Like, these are guys that I believe that not that they didn't withdraw their name. They just weren't chosen that I think would have made a lot of sense for this team. Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. Why isn't he on the team?
Apparently not only.
Well,
one
he's up for a huge money contract, right?
But he did not. As far as I know, he did not opt out of playing.
I'm sure he would not have played anyway because he's up for huge money. You don't want to get hurt in this thing.
Harrison Barnes.
Get out of here.
Malcolm Brogdon. Fred VanVleet. I'm not saying that they're the best players,
yeah.
But what you need is guys who understand, like, look, I'm on this team for this reason. My job is to defend. My job is to get rebounds. My job is to hit open jump shots. I'm not going to get a lot of touches, but that's what my job is. And instead, they got guys who are the antithesis of that. Brad Beal, Zach LaVine. Damian Lillard, I think, is really good. He would have been on either way. But these guys are not made to fit together. It was just, let me get the best guys I can get and throw them together, and that's not what works.
You need your glue guy. You need your this, that, and the other. But listen, I don't want to make this a racial thing. I was joking about Kevin Love. But just for shits and giggles, I looked up who are the best white guys in the NBA right now, 2021. The best one, obviously, is Luka Doncic. He is not American. Second best would be Jokic, the MVP. He's not American. Domantas Sabonis. Bogdan Bogdanovic. Nikola Vucevic. Jonas Valanciunas. Bojan Bogdan, or Bojan, the one on the Jazz. The only American white guys in the league that are, you know, really, really good right now are Joe Harris of the Nets, who I believe was an Olympian at one point.
He was on the consideration for the roster, and they did not get him for this one.
They didn't get him. They felt the need to go with Keldon Johnson. Gordon Hayward, given
Keldon
his injury.
Johnson's on the select team. He's not on the actual team.
Given the injuries to Hayward, I would imagine I can understand why he's not playing. This one's interesting. Red Velvet, Kevin Huerter. Is that a guy that would fit in your system, Rob? Hit threes?
Probably better than what they have. Because then it's just a clear pecking order. Then it's like, okay.
Who do you not want on this team? Let's just put all our cards on the table. Do you want Kevin Durant on this team?
Yes.
Do you want Bradley Beal on this team?
No.
Do you want Damian Lillard on this team?
Yes.
Are you watching a team without Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Damian Lillard? Like, I'm sorry, they need to have draws, right?
I mean, isn't it more important to win?
I think they can win anyway. Like, if you honestly told me, if some of these guys from the select team, Sadiq Bey, Darius Garland, Bam Adebayo, Zach LaVine, if that was like the starting lineup, are you even tuning in for that?
Not till the middle rounds, no.
Now, Kevin Durant's playing anywhere, anytime, you're probably watching it. He'll pull up at Rucker Park and you're watching it. I think Damian Lillard is encroaching that area where, like, if he's playing, you're watching. I know Draymond Green is like one of those. For me, Draymond Green is there as a recruiting tool to get guys to the Warriors. That's basically his goal. Can we get, I'm not even kidding. Can we get Dame? Can we make that happen? Should we go for Zach LaVine? Like,
there was a lot of pick and roll with Dame and Draymond, I'm just saying, the last two games.
There you go. We just spent 20 minutes on friggin' USA basketball losing two exhibition games. Clearly, we like the NBA. One final note. It didn't get as much pushback as I thought I would for saying Conor McGregor's washed. Saw some people, you know, pillaging that. Now, listen, we were early on that. Way early. If you listen to the interview last week with Coppinger, I said, nah, McGregor's done. Toast. While thinking about McGregor on Monday, I floated to Rob. Yes, McGregor's going to clean up. He's so bankable. Is he the equivalent of Mike Tyson after Tyson had lost to Buster Douglas and bit off the ear of Evander Holyfield? Because that Tyson was a sideshow. You still wanted to watch in a car crash kind of way, and you were still a fan, but the guy was washed. And I don't know, Rob, is that accurate of a depiction, or is that a little too harsh? Because McGregor's still physically looks like he's in his prime. As a fighter, he's clearly not.
Yeah, I would think that makes sense. And the comparison, I think, to Mike Tyson is even more appropriate because he's still wildly marketable. It doesn't matter whether he wins or lose. People want to tune in to watch him. And I imagine in a year when he's back from his injury, he might get a tune-up fight, or he might even get Poirier 4, and by that time, he might be the champion. So he might come off an injury, having lost 3 or 4 fights, getting a title shot.
Wait, just
because he's Conor McGregor.
Did you say a year? Is that how long the broken ankle is going to take?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's brutal. I thought a broken ankle was like 6 weeks. But I guess if you're kicking people.
Yeah, he got a rod and a plate with a screw put in there.
Oh, by the way, I think it was Joe Rogan on the gram posted like a slow-mo video of how he broke it. He broke it before the step back. It looks like it was loosened up on a kick. And then you could see McGregor wince on the kick. And then within the next like 10 seconds, he took that errant step and it was loose enough that it just snapped. Oh, man. Brutal, brutal injury. Holy hell. Anyways, I think that'll do it for us today, Rob, unless you want to go ahead and take a bigger dump on Greg Popovich. Go ahead. Fire when ready.
Look, first off, number one, Greg Popovich did like to say, I think, after the game that, you know, we never blow people out. That's a false narrative. You brought it up with the Joe Vardon exchange.
Embarrassing.
The only problem with that, though, is back in 2012, they were winning games by an average of 32 points.
This was as recently as 2012?
As recently as 2012. And, you know, maybe this, I mean, I guess if you want to be completely honest, yes, they haven't been blowing people out under the Popovich regime. They're only 9-5 in two summers with Greg Popovich.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to come down hard on Popovich, but, you know, I said Conor McGregor's washed. I'm going to ask you, has Popovich won a playoff series since Tim Duncan retired?
Oh, shoot.
I mean, I'll tell you.
I'd have to look it up. It's probably close.
I asked it for a reason, bro. Like, I mean, I'm not killing the guy. Like, you know, I know he's an all-time great. He's a legend. He got very political in the last half decade. Guy's 72 years old. Okay. He's a legendary coach, probably on the short list top 5 coaches in NBA history. I mean, he's won 5 NBA titles. He hasn't won a playoff series since Tim Duncan left the league. Like, wow. It's going to be tough. And at 72, I'm surprised he's sticking around. I don't know. I figured by now Pop would want to move on. This just doesn't seem like a 72-year-old guy coaching a lot of rich, coddled athletes who have won multiple times over and probably don't care as much about this Olympics as they do their brand. What is Popovich doing on the sideline? Nothing adds up to this team. You know what? Rob, I think I've talked myself out of maybe them not winning the gold. I think just 25 hardcore minutes and nothing's adding up here. I need to see the bracket. And is that out, by the way?
It might be. I have to look it up, though.
I need to look at the gambling. I think I might maybe fade Team USA if you can gamble on Olympic basketball. Can you? You've got to be able to, right?
They opened up as minus 1,000 to win the gold. Now they're down to minus 600.
Ooh. So who's the favorite? Lucas Country?
No, they're still the favorite. They're just not as big.
The second favorite. Sorry.
Oh, I'm not sure.
All right, let me see if I can pull this up. Tokyo Olympics.
Well, while you're looking it up, let me just say America, if you have nothing to do later tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be co-hosting the Odd Couple with my man Chris Broussard on Fox Sports Radio.
Nice shameless plug.
It's a shameless plug. That's what we do.
USA France, July 25th. The U.S. is a 16.5-point favorite. I think I might take the dog here. Let me look at the France basketball roster for the Olympics because I don't think they have Tony Parker. do they have the kid? They have the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert. Nick Batum.
They do not
48.
Have that young kid who's supposed to be like the next.
Oh, team. Do they have him?
No, he played in the under-19 team.
They have TLC of Nets fame, Frank Ntilikina, who couldn't shoot his way out of. I don't think he could shoot in my pickup game out here in L.A. Theo Maledon is
take France in the points, man. That seems like stealing money at this point.
Batum, Fournier, Gobert. I don't know if they're going to have the offense to hang. TLC. They got Yabusele. He was a Celtic for like 7 minutes. Actually, the Australian team roster is far better. France lost to Spain in the last two Olympic quarterfinals. I don't know if I could take the 16.5, but you're saying for sure?
They just lost two in a row. Why
exhibition.
Are you like, yeah, I got these guys. Yeah.
Should I take it?
Yes.
500? No, I'm not doing 500 in France. I did have some really... I gave you guys the Bucks in game three. It's funny. My dad is starting to listen to the pods again because I started talking about soccer, obviously. And he texted me, good call on the Bucks winning game three. I was like, oh, Dad. Thanks for checking in. I'm just telling you, listen, that wasn't my biggest bet of the year. Probably my biggest NBA bet. I need some more time on game four. It's not an easy one. Rob, real quick before we wrap up, any early thoughts on game four? Will you be betting it? Who do you like? All that fun stuff.
I will not be betting it because you brought up some great points about that Phoenix Suns bench. I mean, their bench is woefully thin right now. And I don't know if you can count on Chris Paul and Devin Booker being able to carry them that long, you know? So
Extra day off.
I know, but Devin Booker has been up and down a lot.
Yeah.
In these
playoffs. By the way, I don't know where I read this, but the reason for an extra day off usually in where there's no travel, when there's travel, there's an extra day off. There's no travel in between games three and four. Why is there an extra day? Because the NBA did not want to go up against MLB All-Star game tonight. So they're playing Wednesday. Now, how wild is that? Is that not crazy? That the NBA said, oh, we'll give them an extra day. And again, I shouldn't complain because everybody's been hurt. And, you know, for all we know, Chris Paul's going to get injured. Gosh, I hope I didn't just jinx him. Anyways, let's just wrap up this pod before I say something that jinxes everyone. I did take France getting 16.5 against Team USA 13 days from now. Piggyback it if you want. We'll talk to you tomorrow.